Regional Service Commission 11 is now known as the Capital Region Service Commission. For all your building or subdivision permits, regional transportation, social mandates, and economic development questions, visit capitalrsc.ca. That's capitalrsc.ca. Email info at crsc.ca, call 506-453-2956, or visit our office at 860 Prospect Street in Fredericton.
Hi, and welcome to Late Scratches, episode 26, where we cover local sports of all sorts. I'm Bill Gibson, joined once again by Brad James, my co-host. And Brad, we've got an opportunity to talk to one of my favorite people, someone I've known, for a lot of years now. We grew up together. Tom Liston, the power forward from the 1988-89 NGHS basketball team, the best New Brunswick junior high team to never win a district or provincial title at that, and fundraising chair of the world's oldest basketball court. Tom, welcome.
Thank you, Bill and Brad. I'm excited to join, so appreciate you having me on.
Lots to talk about in this one, Brad, and we might as well jump right in with Tom on the what is the world's oldest basketball court. I'm sure folks have heard us talk about it a lot, but give us your elevator pitch on what the world's oldest basketball court is, Tom.
Yeah, me and elevator pitches don't really
it's a thousand story building, Tom.
I try. I have got it refined a little bit, but the world's oldest basketball court is the world's oldest existing court, and the cool part of the story is when Dr. James Naismith, that everybody knew, invented the game at Springfield College. If you look up the first basketball team, which was really just his students, the eight or nine of them, I think it was, those students took the game all over the world. So one went to Paris, France. I think one went to Montreal, Toronto, Kansas, and a gentleman named Lyman Archibald, that if you look to the first basketball team photo, he's sitting right in front of Dr. Naismith. He took it. He was from Truro, Nova Scotia, but he took the game to St. Stephen Y. And, it took us many years to piece the story together, but he played the first international game was there, and the world's oldest court of those existing early courts. There's only two of them, one in Paris, France, and one in St. Stephen, New Brunswick, and we predate Paris by about 2 months. So a number of years ago, a group in St. Stephen rediscovered the court, if you will, after an arson and a fire went through the building. And it prompted them to say, hey, we got to save this thing. We think this court is special. And at the time, I think they thought it was Canada's first basketball court. And I don't think they were able to prove that or disprove that. I think there was one in Montreal around the same time, maybe Toronto. But what they did discover over a period of 2 years, that it's the world's oldest court that exists. The original court, of course, was, I guess, considered in Springfield College. Obviously, it was a multi-use facility that where Naismith invented the game. But I think that burned down about 100 years ago and is now a McDonald's. And we actually visited the parking lot of where the first court, if you will, where Naismith invented the game. So we're very fortunate to be able to preserve and resurrect. And obviously, you've seen the plans on how exciting this is. And one thing about what I found extremely interesting, when we went to Springfield College to visit and learn that history a little more, we went to the Naismith World Hall of Fame, also in Springfield, of course. We were able to meet the CEO and CFO and the head of philanthropy, and they walked through all this, and they were as excited about our court as anything, because no one's really told that story. If I said what happened to basketball after James Naismith, no one really talks about that era, right? They talk little bits and pieces before the NBA started, and I think it was 1945, but we get the chance to tell that story of when Lyman Archibald left Springfield College and within a few weeks landed in St. Stephen, brought the game there, and then the game obviously spawned throughout the world after that. So we get to tell a lot of that story, which is pretty exciting for our home province.
What hooked you, Tom? I mean, there's a fire goes through the building, they rediscover it, could have easily been raised and we're not having this conversation tonight, but as soon as the word was out, what was the shepherd's hook that said, I've got to get involved in this from your end?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I owe a lot of, I don't know, confidence. What would you say? Like, the making the grade eight varsity, a good team in varsity team in grade eight, and then playing in grade nine, and as Bill said, the greatest junior high team of all time, I think. That was an era where I was, you know, perhaps a shy kid, and I kind of needed basketball to sort of come out of my shell a little bit. And the values that you all know from playing team sport is just phenomenal. You know, trying to deal with adversity and highs and lows, and kind of fighting back, and having, you know, these major accomplishments with the team, and everybody on the court you rely on as part of that. It's just a beautiful sport, and such a great thing when you're in, you know, formative years in grade eight, nine, what have you, to go through that. And so I felt I always owed a lot to basketball, and I've always been extremely proud of New Brunswick, and I've always got a little upset when, you know, people call us a have-not province, or people, you know, I'm one of those people that exudes pride of being from New Brunswick, and at every moment I'll talk about how great our province is, and, you know, sort of join those two things together. So when it so happened during COVID, we're fortunate to have a place in St. Andrews. Certainly love being in New Brunswick as much as we can, and during COVID we ended up being there for 6 months, and Kathy McCain, who was on the board of governors at UMB, I got to know in Toronto, and she put me in touch with David Gadong, also a UMB board of governor, also business grad at UMB, so same alumni, same faculty. Kathy said, hey, there's this gentleman named Tom Liston that knows a lot of the basketball circles in Toronto, and I think he'd be perfect for your project. And I'd heard about the project maybe 18 months before. I asked a few people, including a local MP at the time, and there was a bit of activity for sure, but not, you know, they hadn't really kind of, you know, launched their full campaign. Anyway, David Gadong had called me, and when I first saw the pitch, I came back to Krista, my wife, and my family. I said, you know, we could donate to different causes over the next, you know, 30 years, or we could just go all in on something that's just absolutely magical and can transform a town and a province for that matter. And it really was everything. Funny, at the same time, someone I worked with, or at least helped out, volunteered with, the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment Foundation was a foundation that helped refurbish hockey courts and basketball courts and soccer pitches in poor neighborhoods in Toronto. And I was on basically the board of directors. It's called a president's club, but it was basically essentially kind of a board of directors for this. And the executive director at the time, Michael Bartlett, just became COO of Canada Basketball the same time I was talking to David Gadong. I was like, well, you know, this is absolutely, you know, meant to be that, you know, the now CEO of Canada Basketball, you know, is a good friend of mine. And all these things were just made it perfect. So David, I think at the time, David Gadong and the team were about $750,000 on the raise to do what they called phase one. That's to buy the buildings. And that allowed us to, you know, do some architecture work and start to really say, hey, this is what it's going to look like. So, you know, we just sort of decided to go all in, so to speak, on trying to get them to $1 million and helping them get through, and including our own donation. And it just felt like this project that was going to just transform the community and transform the province, and what better thing to be a part of than, you know, we always say St. Stephen's the kind of hub from all the Americans come up through New Brunswick. Like, what a way to intro to New Brunswick with this amazing historical site. So it kind of became obvious in a couple of days, and if you met David Gadong, he's just absolutely wonderful man, and just inspiring and passionate about his community, and just puts so much energy in this. I just knew this team was going to be successful. And I wanted to be part of it from the day, kind of day one, not quite day one, but almost day one.
And there are plans to make it sort of more of an attraction than just the oldest basketball court, which is amazing in itself. But you're the plans I've seen, it's like a modern day Hall of Fame building attached to the side of this older building.
Yeah. One thing, our vision pretty early on, well, very early on, is two things. We wanted to make it as interactive and as possible, so you keep coming back. Truly, when you walk into that court, and I forgot, Bill, you haven't stepped on that court, but we've had people from, you know, Basketball Canada board directors like Paul Jones or Jack Armstrong, the famous announcer for the Raptors, walk on, and Sherm Hamilton, and all these people that have played for Team Canada, and Diane Norman, our homegrown talent, and they've all said, like, they kind of feel the footsteps and just they have chills walking into that room. I was able to do a interview with a national CTV program called Your Morning that aired, and the interviewer actually had friends in St. Stephen and walked through it, and she said how powerful it was. So that obviously is the catalyst, but we want to do a bunch of things. We want to make it sure it's very interactive, where you know you can keep coming back every year or two and really get a newer experience. The second thing we want it to be, you know, maybe Cooperstown is kind of a big view of the world, but have it, well, Springfield as well. Like they have it as a hub for tournaments, for youth programming, for youth at risk programming. So we've developed not only this beautiful building, which a lot of really cool activities that people can do, but we've also had a memorandum, which is really important, with Canada Basketball of being a node of the Hall of Fame. So there's no physical Hall of Fame for Canada Basketball right now. They nominate people, including Diane Norman and Joyce Slip and a lot of other great New Brunswickers, but there's no physical place to walk in and see their imagery and all the rest of it and see their story. So right now, Canada Basketball is working on a project just outside of Toronto for a Hall of Fame and a performance center. There'll be a node in Vancouver, and proudly will there be a node in St. Stephen right in our building. And we probably will be the first ones finished. So I cannot wait to have a Hall of Fame ceremony in St. Stephen, New Brunswick. And that's something I'm going to push for, and I think we'll absolutely get. So not only will be a Hall of Fame that celebrates all of our great New Brunswick talent, or sorry, Canadian talent, but... And that'll be a draw in itself, but it'll have the history, it'll have interactive displays. And then what we want to do is have many, you know, much programming and talent. We've already proven that we've taken people from Saskatoon, Lisa Tomitas, to Jaron Jackson Sr. from LA, come to St. Stephen, New Brunswick, to not only see the court, but they're happy to help with programming or anything we want help with. And to bring that much coaching talent and history of the game to New Brunswick, I think is pretty exciting. And I think we can do a lot with programming, including the MWBA, which we don't even have a building yet. And we're able to, thanks to you and Brad, get to celebrate what we have by bringing those four teams down. So
yeah,
it's
exciting. And we'll get to that in a minute. I know you've dropped a whole bunch of names there that just roll off your tongue. And you know, Brad and I are sitting here smiling at each other like, yeah, we met a lot of these people, and we met a lot of them last year in St. Andrews at the Archie, which is your golf tournament that you've been using to raise awareness and maybe even a little bit of money towards the cause of World's Oldest Basketball Court. Just an outstanding weekend all around, probably, and I've said it before, probably the best weekend I've had in maybe since university years, since my party years for sure. It was just absolutely phenomenal, and it's actually the weekend that sort of pushed me over the top on the podcast. This is where Late Scratches started. It was Brad's idea, and we batted it back and forth for quite a long time, and you know, I kind of, you know, sat on the fence, and here we are, episode 28, and it all traces back to a conversation I had with one of the celebrities at the RG, Miranda Iam, right at the Great Big C's, Great Big Songwork concert. Yes. There, Sean McCann, just, you know, had a conversation, say, hey, here, you got a podcast, tell me about that. And she walked me through how she set it up and encouraged it. And then by the time I was driving home the next morning, I was like, okay, I'm doing this. And then the next thing Brad knows is, hey, Brad, I've got this equipment. What are we doing? And away we go. But just an amazing, an amazing golf tournament for one, and just an amazing weekend to, you know, be around some of the, basketball names from across Canada and you know, even U.S. other places that you don't see in this region a whole lot. And they are drawn here because of World's Oldest Basketball Court. So, I mean, I thank you for that, for one. And but for example, at the concert, I look to my right, and it's, you know, it's Joyce Slip, it's Diane Norman, it's Miranda Iam, Lisa Tomitas, all in a row, right beside me. On the other side, it's Tony LaPage, Broadway star, singing along, and all of us are singing along, of course. You know, I'm more mouthing the words because I'm letting Tony carry the song, right? In that point. And I got to see Kurt Peacock win a car last year, of all things, at the golf tournament.
I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, it's like sort of an add-on now that, you know, Kurt won a car. So any news on the Archie this year? I'm sure it's back.
100%. So August 16th, hopefully I have this right, it should be the Friday. I better not say this because we're not done contracting, but there'll be a special event Friday, or sorry, Thursday night that'll kick it off. We'll get the celebrities in Thursday this year. And one of the things that we've always envisioned, it's just time, because the first year, honestly, there was just two of us and we duct taped that thing together. And I cannot tell you how it came out amazingly well. And it's just really a testament to everybody we invited. And that's the secret. You get a bunch of New Brunswickers in a room and some great people from across Canada and North America, for that matter, in basketball circles. And it just was, you know, the warmth and everything of New Brunswick just shine through. So, again, I don't know exactly how we did it, but that made it easier for the second year. But anyway, the we're going to have the golf on the Friday. And one of the things we've envisioned from day one, golf was sort of to get them there. And the Gonquin sort of was a nice, the hotel as well was a nice draw. Because a lot of those people we invited had never been to New Brunswick or been to like Moncton for one night.
Yep.
And yeah, they knew me a reasonable amount, so they thought it would go okay. But I'm sure they were like, weren't really sure what they were in for. And thankfully, the weather cooperated, and we just had a magical time. And if you go to the Gonquin Golf Course, it is just an amazing spot. I think it's top 25 in Canada right now. But this year will be the golf on the Friday. That might help some folks. And the main thing we're doing is expanding it. And Diane Norman, you know well, joined our board. One of the most accomplished Brunswickers for sure in basketball, wonderful person. And she's going to stand up a 3-on-3 tournament for youth. And may end up being in the St. Stephen, but we're trying to have it in a parking lot, actually. We kind of want that feel of having it in a parking lot. So there's a couple options there. And we want to have that on the Saturday. So we're trying to expand the weekend by a day. So we're going to have a kickoff with an artist that you would know and love. Of course, you have people like Tony LaPage who can always jump in on a mic at any time, and it's absolutely incredible. But yeah, one of the performing artists from last year, we're trying to get on that first kickoff and then have the Friday. And then we're going to have dinner actually in St. Stephen this year. Couple things. We obviously always wanted to have more in St. Stephen, just from logistics and having two people on the organizing committee early on. We sort of had to have the dinner in the Gonquin, which was amazing. But we want to have it right by the court, and the Garcelon parking lot is right across from the court. We want to have it outdoors. We'll have a tent in case it rains. But we want to celebrate the town and have that, you know, just have that activity right beside the court. So for sure, everybody can go see the court. So that'll be Friday night. We'll have 3-on-3. We're looking at adding a coaching clinic, Michael Linklater, 3-on-3, specialist, was one of Canada's best 3-on-3 players for years. He came the first year. He actually couldn't come last year, but he's promised to do a thing on 3-on-3. And of course, if depends on how far Germany goes in the Olympics, but hopefully we can get Lisa Tamayas on a flight back in time to do some coaching with the youth as well. So that we just have everyone. What the greatest thing about all these celebrities that we invited, every one of them wants, they think, I'll come back every year, invite me. And two, what more can I do? Every year they say, what more can I do for you? And most of them are on our honorary cabinet for fundraising. And I didn't even have to finish a sentence and they said yes. I didn't even have to tell them what I was going to ask of them. And they said yes. It is, I've never been involved with something just where people are just so positive and wanting to contribute, whether it's both of you or Kurt Peacock or Stephen Clark or Frank McKenna, we were with last week with David Ganong. You know, it's about an hour and a half. I asked for 15 minutes, an hour and a half later, he's still trying to, you know, find a ways to really, really enhance this. So it's just heartwarming to see so many people from across Canada embrace this. And that was one thought we were like, is this a New Brunswick thing or is this a Canadian wide thing? And then being on the front cover of the Globe and Mail a few months after we made our donation was like, okay, people are going to care about this from coast to coast. And it's just fantastic that I don't think I've ever had a no. Maybe someone has a conflict or something, but no one's actually said no to us on these things. And it's just been quite a wonderful story. So
I was amazed, excuse me, at how much free flow it was. It was not a, you know, you sit at your table and sit at that table for 3 hours. There was people coming in, stopping at tables, talking. I mean, Jack Armstrong, Adam Sprague, and I out on the deck of the Algonquin to the wee hours telling war stories. You don't get that at a lot of events, so I compliment you and your crew and those guests that were just willing to give their time and energy.
Well, partly it was by design. It's who I know. I can't call Kyle Lowry and tell him to, you know, come down to whatever. But, at the same time, I've been to a few events where you know, part of the population. They did do a great job. The celebrities come in, but they sort of, as soon as the dinner's over, they kind of cut out before even dessert's served. And, you know, partly it's the type of people I knew, partly it's the type of people I wanted to be there. And we call dinner a maritime kitchen party for a reason. Like, that's the greatest thing about New Brunswick and the Maritimes is how that mingling happens, right? It's a little less formal, and it's high on memories, a little less on formalities. And as we designed this year's and expanded, I kept that in mind. I was thinking about doing maybe a bigger concert, but I'm like, no, it's the intimate piece of it that makes it magical, right? So we've designed every piece of this to make it as interactive as possible, and to have everybody sort of let their hair down and just really. And I said that to celebrities the first year. I said, you don't have to send a tweet. You don't have to put a picture on Instagram or TikTok. I just want you to enjoy the weekend and celebrate the court, and that's it. You know, right? And of course, most of them did send. You know, this wonderful response we got the first year. We had hundreds of thousands of impressions on Twitter. It blew me away. Everything blew me away. I told Maestro Fresh West, who's I neglected to say, but Maestro has been absolute gem in all of this. If you met him, he's just the most wonderful man, and he's jumped in to MC a lot of it, and he performed the first year, you know, Let Your Backbone Slide, and we had people from, you know, 19 years old to 88 years old putting their hands in the air with Maestro, and it was just unbelievable. So, you know, we were trying to maintain that, you know, warmth and just kind of let your hair down. That's what happens in New Brunswick. You go to Charlotte County or wherever, and Jack Armstrong can belt out "Hey Jude" at midnight, and I don't think that would necessarily happen in, you know, the odd Toronto bar, right? Maybe, you know, maybe some certain towns in Ontario, but they really just relax and enjoy every bit of it, and participate, as you point out, till wee hours of the morning. But to have Jack Armstrong and your CEO Abella, Mark McAllister on the keys, and Tony Lepage saying "Hey Jude," and then the whole lobby bar, the Gonquin, which is kind of supposed to shut down at more like 11, just belt out that. I mean, you're gonna remember that for the rest of your life. And it's just
absolutely no question. I got a lot of mileage out of that, trying to figure out what vacation days I needed to book this summer. Eh?
There you go.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what I was really after is the when. But we got a lot of mileage out of that one.
No, that's cool.
So let's move on and talk about, you know, the immediate upcoming event. April 27th, 28th, the Saturday-Sunday Battle at the Border presented by McDonald's in St. Stephen. All four New Brunswick Women's Basketball Association, Maritime Women's Basketball Association teams in playing for the World Doodles Basketball Cup. Lots of sponsors on board. Marriage reception. All signs, Brad, point this to being a spectacular weekend. Tom, this event, and I think you might have already touched on this, why was it important for World's Oldest Basketball Court to jump on with us?
Yeah, it's huge. And the one thing that we wanted to prove, and we don't necessarily like to use the word museum. There's obviously a museum element to what we're doing, an important one. But the interactive piece and what we want to really show is that we're going to be a bit of a mecca, be a bit of a spark for basketball in our whole province. And be a bit of a gateway and a bit of a catalyst for some of these programs and tournaments and what have you. So thanks to Brad right away after being at dinner and talking to a few people, it was his idea to at least have one game, I think. I forget how it started.
That's how it started, one game. That was
yes,
it.
Yes, and to have all four teams, especially with the Miramichi coming on board, it's just phenomenal. And what? And I think you were joking on the last podcast, or maybe it was a podcast before, but I don't think the Winsome Inn has sold out in April in the history of the Winsome Inn. The Winsome Inn's a great hotel, but I don't, in April, there's not a lot going on. And it's important to us to try to extend the seasons for tourism in New Brunswick and be a catalyst for not only tournaments, but people come up from the U.S. and what have you. And this tournament will show that we're producing economic activity before we even have we own the building, but we don't even have something to really truly walk through. You can see the court, but you have to step over some gyp rock and a few other things to get there. But it's important for us to show that we're going to generate a lot for not only the town of St. Stephen and Charlotte County, but all of New Brunswick. And our goal is, I think there's 15 million within a one-day drive. I might have that slightly wrong, but 15 million people, mainly in the U.S., a one-day's drive from the court. And How do we create that catalyst for people to drive up through St. Stephen, stay a night in St. Stephen, stay a night in St. Andrew, stay a night in St. John, and really book a vacation around that and have multiple stays? And maybe a demographic that's a little bit different, right? We get lots of visitors from Quebec and Nova Scotia, PEI, et cetera, but maybe not as much from the U.S. And having a relationship with the World's Hall of Fame in Springfield will be important for that as well. Like we're only 6 and a bit hours from that. So the main thing is to show, and it's got the town excited. The councillors and the mayor is very excited, and we're going to have a reception with the players, with the mayor. Obviously, the Spartans, AA girls team, just won the provincial championship. St. Stephen, as you know, Bill and Brad, and I've always known this, it's been a basketball town for a lot of years. And of course, Johnny Walker is on our board and is a tremendous asset and a hell of a coach. And, we think this is going to drive more and more activity, and we got big plans to drive tournaments and other events that uses a court as a bit of a catalyst and spark to do so.
And we've had fantastic support, McDonald's, obviously, and A&R Accounting, and Jason Rideout jumped up, and Sweeney International, Marine Corp. Just people are jumping on board that really had no affiliation with the MWBA, but they're St. Stephen-centric, right? And that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's all in New Brunswick, but like Charlotte County, when there's something like this go on, it just people rally behind things like this in a big way. And we have now 20, what we call the local committee, so 20 people from St. Stephen that will volunteer at your event, will spread the word. We have posters in every window of every business in St. Stephen right now. We're going to be in the back page of the Courier promoting the event. It's got a real buzz in town, and that just kind of continued on from, I think they said when the Spartans went to the TD station, they said half of Charlotte County showed up in the stands, and that's probably almost true. And we'll just continue that momentum onto this tournament. So we're really excited about what it brings for the town and certainly the exposure for a court.
No, we're looking at four teams. We had the Freeze open training camp last weekend, and Battle at the Border was talked about amongst the hopefuls trying out. And I'm sure most of them were saying, yeah, okay, I'm not sure. Some of them maybe have never been to St. Stephen or heard of St. Stephen. And so it was once they get down there and put the uniform on whatever rosters that four teams have, I bet you they're going to be embracing that pretty quickly. And the cool part of it, too, is that it is going to be an educational facet for them to learn about the world. They're all basketball players. So here it is. You're in the kind of the mecca that's going to be years from now. And hopefully they come back and visit when this project reaches fruition.
Yeah,
and 100%. Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
It's one thing I want, it's important to me that every New Brunswicker is super proud. Obviously the basketball community will gravitate to it, but it's something incredibly unique. Like there's only one oldest. There's not two oldest, there's one oldest. And to have us invent the game, and so to have this, ownership of it right after with this court and have the Hall of Fame there, I think we all be very proud. But the other thing I love about this is, it's about time, but women's sports is on fire right now. And it's, probably a little too late. I don't know why it took so long, but there's a criticism that not enough people would watch. Oh my gosh. Every one of my kids watch way more women's NCAA than men's. PWHL is gone berserk. They set a new record every time they have a game, it seems, for attendance. Obviously Team Canada beat the US in overtime the other night. Like, it's just on fire, and the youth game is getting more and more popular among girls as well. So I think it's just a perfect time for us to showcase this the talent that's in the Maritimes and your league.
So, Brad, two games on Saturday afternoon at the 1 and...
1:30 and 3:30. Moncton and Port City Fog of St. John will open things at 1:30, and at 3:30, the Freeze play the Miramichi Hurricanes. The two losers meet in a consolation battle on Sunday at 11:30, and then the World's Oldest Basketball Court Cup will be presented after the 1:30 final game.
All games at St. Stephen High School.
A couple of youth games prior to 10 and 11:30 with the Fredericton Fusion and Port City Junior Academy Fog. So that's going to be good, too, just to have the kids out. And basketball in New Brunswick is coming in on Sunday with 8 age class girls team playing at the middle school, I believe, or maybe the elementary school. But they're going to be down there taking over on Sunday as well. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people invading St. Stephen.
That's amazing, you know, from just exactly what Tom's talking about from an event perspective. And Tom, I can remember that, you know, jokingly, that junior high team that we had, we went to St. Stephen a few times for that.
Yes.
Across the border to Calais.
Campobello as well?
We went to Campobello as well.
Road trip.
We went to, was it Camden, Maine we went to?
So Bill, I have a famous story. I had a quadruple double with only 2 points against Campobello?
Yes.
Because we sat most of the starters and I kind of played center. And then after about 12 blocks, the referee kindly asked me not to block anyone anymore. Yeah, it was a little bit of a lopsided affair in Campobello.
Yeah,
but obviously made an impression, you know, all these years later, you remember that road trip.
So. Oh, yeah. Well, there wasn't many quadruple doubles in my career, unfortunately.
We had some great times there for sure. Tom, the other thing you hit on is about youth, and it's tied into the event in St. Stephen, and talked a little bit about with Brad and I prior to the podcast. You coach as well.
Yes, yeah, no, and silly enough, I end up coaching two rep teams, which you're actually not supposed to do. Our North Toronto Huskies club, which is a fantastic club. I think we have 42 youth teams between boys and girls. And interesting for us, we have, I think, almost as many. Last year, we might actually had more girls teams than boys team, which was fantastic. We definitely have the most girls teams in the province, and a wonderful club. And usually there's a policy not to be head coach of two teams, but my U16 team, as you probably know, as you start to enter high school, a lot of kids start to drop off. And, you know, being a couple years out of COVID, it was really important for a whole bunch of reasons to try to keep these kids together. So I agreed to coach two teams, and we're having two, you know, terrific seasons. And I don't, even though some nights are pretty tiring after 4 hours in a row of practice back to back, or a Sunday afternoon or whatever, or I had eight games in the weekend 2 weekends ago, which was impossible to get to all of them. But thankfully I have some amazing assistant coaches and just some great kids. So it's a lot of work, but honestly, one of the most rewarding things you could ever do, right? To the same thing that I went through at that age, right? To try to help them gain confidence. And if you look at, I'm close with someone at TMU, the old Ryerson University, that did a bunch of surveys on girls in sport. And there was a thought that almost 33% would drop off post-COVID. So we did everything we could to try to keep them in sport, and everything from confidence to body image to, you know, there's a whole bunch of amazing stats of girls specifically that play sports that are incredibly important. So I was pretty passionate about having those girls not drop out. And you know, one, a big motivating factor, a girl that I've coached and played with, my oldest Miranda, since she was 9 years old, developed a rare form of cancer 2 and a bit years ago. Thankfully, she just rang the bell a few months ago, but she went through intensive chemo the last 18 plus months. And we've always put her on the roster, and we're waiting for her to come back and step on the court. So I didn't want to finish coaching until she stepped back on the court. And she was always our warrior. She was our point guard. And just if you needed a bucket or a stop late in the game, she was the one to do it. And for her to have to fight through cancer at her age was just devastating. But the good news is she's back, and she even goes on road trips with her kids. She's not in a condition to play yet quite. She doesn't have the stamina quite yet, and I think you have to build a bit more bone density and what have you post chemo and all the rest of it. But she comes on a road trips and comes, sits on the bench, and we've always had her on the roster. So there's another motivating factor to try to keep them all together. To they've had so many great memories together, right? The highs and lows of sport, so it is a lot. Some nights I give up every weekend and a lot of nights, and not a lot of free time, but you know, they're only teenagers and young for a short while. So it's pretty rewarding as well.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, you couldn't say it much better than that. So this, you know, a couple weekends away, be my first chance to see the world's oldest basketball court. Tom, your first chance to see Maritime Women's Basketball Association live. I know you watched online.
Yes, I watched online. I realized, yeah, I thought I got to know. I haven't got to any. So I'm actually really looking forward to the competition. I got to go, you know, slightly unrelated, but is, I got to go to St. Stephen High School, the team that won, just maybe about a month before they get to TD Station. We were down there for an offsite for the court. And Don Walker invited me to the game, and man, I miss that level of basketball. And I was telling Brad, I think earlier this week, I do miss the high school having the dominant teams. And I think it's maybe shifting a little bit in New Brunswick, but it shifted a number of years ago in Ontario, where no one, I shouldn't say don't care, but they sort of don't for the high, to play for the high school team. The season's like basically a month and a bit long for the girls now. It's basically not even a, you know, and I miss the energy in that room. And I know we're going to sell the Maritimes Women's Basketball Association with the quality of play, because they sold out that they were jammed to the rafters at St. Stephen High School. And the energy is just so good. I love when people are playing for their local school and not being poached and pinched around. Like, even at U13 level, people are trying to poach my players and all the rest of it. It's a bit wild, right? You think they just kind of let the players kind of mature at their own rate or whatever, but I miss that. So anyway, I'm going to enjoy the level of competition. It's just fantastic. I've seen some UMB game streaming and certainly some Fredericton Freeze game streaming. So
yeah. And we have talked about that on the podcast a little bit, about where basketball is going and where high school sports is going. And you're right. There is nothing quite like the passion of putting on a uniform that means something, that's got a building attached with it, that isn't just a club team playing out of a gym somewhere, there's more to wearing a jersey than, you know, than just the playing for. So, and it's, you see that passion every year, and the end of the high school season, it's one of the most emotional, you know, events in basketball that you can ever be part of, because there's so many kids that, you know, I don't want to say come to the end of their competitive career, but they come to the end of their competitive career in their last high school game. For so many of them, and you can just see how much the game means to them at that level. So it's part of the reason why I love the Maritime Women's Basketball Association, you know, so much, in terms of the stories that are there. And you know, I get a little misty-eyed here if I get too far down that train of thought. So we won't go there. But let's move into the Fredericton Freeze, Brad. You've mentioned already first weekend of tryouts last weekend, another weekend coming up. Team is looking fairly deep.
Yeah, deep is probably the word I would use. There's certainly a lot of skilled players out on the weekend. I thought Saturday was maybe a little ragged, but that's to be expected. And Sunday was night and day. The pace was phenomenal. The energy was really high, and it was a lot of fun. It was good to see them on the floor. And what really, basketball is such a neat community, because, you know, players are coming from all walks of life and they just gather in a circle and play. And all of a sudden you've got somebody like Malin Speckrell, who, what, 17 hours took her to get from Fredericton, from Montreal to Fredericton via train and bus. And a couple of our players, you know, drove her back to her Airbnb. Didn't have to, but they did. And I love that camaraderie and that that willingness to help. But yeah, we're back. Story. Yeah, it was a great story. And so we're back at it Saturday and Sunday, and in preparation. And you know, like St. Stephen's going to be coming quickly.
It's so. Coming on us real quick. So yeah. I look forward to that.
GM can sign some players before Miramichi signs them all. So.
That's right. Listen, and I know we talked about this last week, Tom, and it's you know, it's amazing again just this week. Are you guys signing any players? Yes, we're signing players. Everybody needs to settle down. Like, it's going to happen. I think it's fantastic for the league, because it's, people are talking about it in April.
And, 100%, yeah.
You know, that's good. And you know, Jimmy Waters, if he thinks he can get an edge on anybody, he's going to jump all over that. So. And I know he's listening tonight too and grinning.
So first home game for the Freeze, May 4th, 6 o'clock, Curry Center.
Curry Center against the Moncton Mystics. She is active. New Brunswick is going to be on hand just to promote active living for girls and children, for that matter. So we're looking forward to that, being at the Curry Center. And those, by the way, and we'll be sending out notes, all of those who supported us through the 100 from 100 and two season tickets, we'll have those at the door for all of those people that help. So and that's still coming in. People are still asking. So that's been a big help financially.
That's amazing. And the very next day, we're on the road to Miramichi for the home opener. First ever game for the Miramichi Hurricanes.
At Miramichi Valley High at 3 o'clock on May 5th. Yeah, we might want to get there a little bit early.
I don't know exactly which one I'm more excited for, but I'm looking forward to that. Those 2 weekends back to back.
That's gonna
be fun. That's gonna be just a blast.
Tom, you might want to stay in New Brunswick and just come up, you know, watch the game on the 4th, and then go to
Mount Sheet. There's the Wednesday. I might need to extend.
That's right.
It's gonna be fun. So let's carry on with a little bit more local stuff and some more basketball. And Tom, jump in here. The first thing I've got written down here in terms of basketball, the basketball league and their Maritimes announcement, if you can call it that, at least publicly coming out and saying, hey, we're going to give professional basketball another run in the region, looking to kick off in spring of 2025, listed, I think, 7 target markets: Moncton, Halifax, Charlottetown, Sydney, Bathurst, St. John, St. Stephen, and Bangor, which isn't necessarily, Maritimes. My initial impression of what they put out there wasn't super positive, I'll say that. 3 of the place names they had spelled wrong, which to me is, that's not a great thing right off the top. A couple of them you can easily reverse the Saint and the Saint. They got those backwards. Yeah. So I'll sort of give them a pass on that. I raised eyebrows when I saw St. Stephen. So I thought, okay, that one really stands out from a size perspective from those other cities. St. Stephen is vastly different demographically than Halifax. So that sort of raised my eyebrow a little bit. They did at least recognize the disaster that was the East Coast Basketball League a little bit. Didn't name them directly. I still think they're underestimating the bad taste that experience left in a lot of people's mouth. Professional basketball and the men's level has failed in this area at least 3 times, maybe 4 now. It's always been from a financial perspective. Nothing is getting cheaper, especially transportation. And you're talking about a league that's going to go from Bathurst to Sydney, the far end of Cape Breton. Look, I hope they succeed. I wish them well. But, you're going to have to send my mail to Missouri on this one, because I'm going to need to see a whole lot more before I'm convinced that this is going to work. Like, you got to show me. I hope that's a lesson that everyone's learned from the previous league. Ask those hard questions and, get some more stuff in writing. Brad, Tom, anything you want to jump in on that one on?
Complete random. I got to meet David Magley, the founder. I think we were just finishing an offsite or something in the world's oldest court. We had a session and he happened to be walking by the building with someone local in the area. And the guy was telling him, like, I opened the door. I didn't know who he was. I opened the door. I said, hey, do you want a tour? And he introduced himself. And so I got a little bit of the pitch. And I think there's dozens of teams, right, in the U.S.
There are dozens of teams.
And, he does try to bring a business approach, but you're right. Like, can you get the right enough sponsorships and the rest? And he does try to pick, apparently, towns where there's not a lot of other sports, like maybe Albany or something like that, where, it might be a draw because there's not as much else going on. But yeah, it's a little different. There's, you're right, from driving from Halifax to Bangor or whatever the schedule might look like, it will be challenging for sure. And I think the other point is valid, that it might be lukewarm initially as they know, people put hard dollars into the previous iterations of these things and didn't see much return on it. So, I hope they succeed, but I've also heard, this has not come from Mike, the CEO of CEBL, but I did talk to people that know the league pretty well. They've been at least eyeballing a couple franchises here. Now, I don't know how you have kind of a couple with the transportation issues, as you say, but we'll see. It'd be nice to have, but to your point, it's gone the wrong way a couple times.
Yeah, CEBL, in my mind, they're going to target the larger centers, and that league is already spread out across Canada. So right. I don't know that travel really gets a lot more expensive because they've already got teams in a ton of places.
Everything except Atlantic Canada at this point. And I know they're eyeing it. They have to. And Halifax is a hotbed. There's no doubt about that. I think the minor leagues, you're never going to have a problem getting players because players are pursuing the game. That's never been the problem. The problem has been that financial stability coming in, promising the world, probably playing in arenas that were too large to start. And then vamoose, they're gone. And like I said, left a sour taste in a lot of mouths.
Hundreds to thousands of ticket holders who bought season tickets who didn't get full value out of them. I mean, simple. That's pretty straightforward from that perspective. So, yeah, it's a hard go. I mean, I love basketball. I hope they make it work. I've watched some games in that league. I know they've got the Super League or whatever it's called in the Ontario area with a bunch of those large cities that are pretty close together.
There's a similar league in the U.S. on the women's side because we'd been approached by a team called the Lewiston Maples out of Lewiston, Maine. And they were looking for a home-and-home series a year ago. Just couldn't make it work for a number of reasons, but that stretches literally from Lewiston, Maine to California.
Yeah.
And they play mainly in the east of the U.S., but they're certainly, you know, I didn't lose their number, let's put it that way, if we ever wanted to have an exhibition game or something.
St. Stephen would be a good location.
There you go.
That, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
New Brunswick All-Stars versus the Lewiston
Maples.
Maples.
Yeah. Always think big.
We're still working on that court for the Gartzland Center, so it'll happen one day.
Brad, you've got some local wheelchair basketball, really national wheelchair basketball.
Yeah, well, and some great news, too. I mean, obviously, our men's team qualified for the Paralympics in Paris with a win over Italy. And it does include a New Brunswicker, Colin Higgins, out of Rosse. So congratulations. And a little closer to home, the Canadian wheelchair championships are here in Fredericton. Same weekend we're in St. Stephen. And they're hosting the Hall of Fame, which I think is really cool. And Dave and Sabrina Durapo, who have just... You know, that speaking of trophy cases that are full, and the cool thing about both of those athletes is that they've given back in so many ways in the community and in the basketball community and with the national program. So congratulations to Dave and Sabrina for going into the Wheelchair Basketball Canada Hall of Fame. And Walter Dane as well from Nova Scotia will be inducted. So that's going to be a pretty cool weekend right here in Fredericton.
Dave and Sabrina at the Archie.
There you go. Absolutely. Just.
They had a wonderful time, and their success does not get celebrated enough, so I'm glad to see them in the Canadian
Absolutely.
Hall of Fame.
I think it's fantastic news, and especially right here in Fredericton with the Nationals unfolding. Alexander Hayward, by the way, from Kuspamps, this is on the under-23 men's national team, but just a litany of medals at the World and Paralympic Games for both, and you know, as I mentioned, I don't think I can say enough that they certainly didn't play and then stop. They just continue to give back, so congratulations.
Anything else on the wheelchair basketball?
No, I think that's it.
Other basketball note I had, another recruit announced for the St. Thomas men. Like what I'm seeing from the Tommies, you know, that Zach Evans out of FHS announced early, Zach Duell, Cam Evans out of FHS. A little dyslexic there, but as you know, Brad, earlier I looked for my cell phone for 30 minutes and I found it in the crisper of the fridge of all places. so you can excuse me for getting a couple words backwards here. Cam Evans out of FHS, sorry, Cam. Zach Duell from Rosse Netherwood. That's Tom. That's another thing that World Doorless Basketball Court supported was the Milner tournament. Privileged to call that one at Rosse Netherwood in the fall and end up sitting beside Jim Herrick at dinner, thanks to, again, the World's Oldest Basketball Court. Just absolutely amazing. And suddenly look beside me, and there's Jim Herrick. Like, wow. Mm-hmm. Their newest recruit announced is Brady Herbert out of Heartland, a single-A player from the provincial team as well. Both the Stu men and the UNB women, to me, impressive recruiting classes so far locally here. So wanted to get that mention in. That sort of brings me to the end of the basketball news, sort of.
Well, sticking with St. Stephen, Don Sweeney out of St. Stephen named the general manager of Team Canada for the quartet of teams next year, the prelude to the Olympics coming up. And it always amazes me, Sweeney, of course, is the general manager of the Boston Bruins and one of the most powerful agents in the entire NHL, J.P. Barry out of St. John. Sweeney and Barry played midget AAA hockey together with the old St. John Pepsis. So now they're, you know, at the top of their game. So I just wanted to throw that in with the St. Stephen connection.
That's pretty interesting. And you've moved into hockey, so you might as well talk about, and I think you've already mentioned this a little bit, or maybe Tom did, Team Canada Women's Hockey 2024 IHF World Champions, coached by Toronto's PWHL coach Troy Ryan, who's a UNB grad.
UNB grad, absolutely. So that was a fun game to watch, too, and Captain Canada came through, and then in overtime, Team Canada wins. That 6-5 score, like it was Canada, Russia, and it just always seems when the great games are, it always seems to be 6-5, but a shootout for the gold, which is great. So congratulations to all that crew.
Yeah, and you know, it's amazing. One thing I've learned from doing this podcast is that it would be absolutely amazing to be able to do this full time because there's stuff here that like that I get like two lines on it, but if I had time and you could expand on that and you could do so much more. Just
but you can't be done with basketball yet because Malcolm Christie, of course, from Fredericton is drafted sixth overall. Scarborough Shooting Stars of the Canadian Elite Basketball League out of Dalhousie University. Congratulations.
The triple S.
Yeah, the triple S. That's a lot. I like my alliteration, but that's a lot.
That's a lot of alliteration, the Scarborough Shooting Stars.
Can he play right away? Like, or
yes.
When?
Yeah. Okay. U Sports are eligible.
I know some people have season tickets, so I'll definitely be attending a few.
Yeah, their U Sports players are eligible.
Don't. And CCAA for the first time were eligible in the draft this year, which I think is fantastic.
Yes, for sure. A number of familiar names there to me drafted, and of course the big name Malcolm Christie. Play. He was with them last year, I think.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And I forget what the term they use for present-day university players. They have a new coach coming in as well, Devin Blair, who coaches the Barbados national team. Be a pretty good gig, I'm thinking, as long as you win, of course.
Yes.
And Bill, remind me, his three-point shooting was something off the charts, I believe.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy. He was a crazy three-point shooter. And, of course, you and I would have played at least one exhibition game against his mother, Laura Swift.
Yes. And I remember trying out against his father as well.
Yes.
Both of them are heck of athletes. Oh, yeah,
amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah.
I can remember him shooting. We lived kind of, in the same neighborhood growing up, and that basketball rim was worn out in front of their place, and certainly paying dividends now.
Someone mentioned, I think it was on Twitter, that, he could shoot as good as any Division I player out there, and I bet you it's true. I saw some highlights, and he doesn't need his feet set either. He can drain them from away. Almost anywhere at any angle.
So certainly it's always good to have some local looks in the CEBL.
It's fantastic, and I won't say it's on my list of things to do, but it's one of those things where I've looked at the schedule for Montreal a few times thinking, yeah, is there something there that fits that I could get up for a game and, pop in and pop back out on a weekend or whatever? And it just, one time I get to looking at it, it just doesn't work out, right? It's either the schedule doesn't or it's a weekend where I'm involved in 16 other things, right? So it's sort of on my list of things that I want to get to. I need to check out a game in person, watch a lot of it on TV, and it's great coverage that they have.
That's Commissioner Mike Morielli, who's been fantastic to the MWBA.
He has been, and of course, Chuck Swirsky is one of the announcers there, and always enjoyed him as a Raptors announcer. Moving on to other sports, high school volleyball. So the schedule's still up on the website. And I did talk to Eric Moffat. He caught the podcast last week. So I think you'll probably look at getting that schedule aligned with a little bit of a consistency. Stu Volleyball, their big middle school tourney, is coming up the same weekend of St. Stephen, the 26th to the 28th. I think that's 130 volleyball teams coming to town, Grand Harvey and Nashwauxis. Middle school, I guess it's called now, NMS. It's always hard for me to call the middle schools. I'm used to junior high. But I'm sure Tom and I's picture is still on the wall there somewhere if the people go looking for it. So that's up. And, of course, there was just the big club tourney at Grand Harvey this weekend. So that's 3 weekends in a row of volleyball, and the all-purpose court has taken over the whole Grand Harvey, the high school one that Stu does, the club tourney, and now, well, I guess it won't be 3 in a row, but 3 out of however many weekends, taken over there.
Speaking of tourism.
Speaking of tourism, like that's
sport
unbelievable.
Tourism. It's awesome.
So let's move on to baseball. A few other things here to pass through. Fredericton Senior Royals, I saw a schedule released. The Royals, as we found out on the weekend, Brad, they're in full swing in training. Use a bad little pun there. They were at FHS in the tunnels. Doing some hitting. Tom, I don't know whether you knew that. FHS has got some hitting tunnels in it now that didn't have when we were there, for sure.
Oh, I don't know where it was, but I really enjoyed Buzzard, who you know well, Bill Saunders, posted a picture with Jody Peterson and Matt Stairs. And how could you get better hitting coaches anywhere, like in the Maritimes? And I don't know what venue they're at, but I mean, I just think of these kids coming up and having those two as mentors, like, wow, just incredible.
That would have been at FHS, because we talked to Buzzard and Jody and Matt, I guess, in passing on his way out as we were waiting there on Saturday. Just sort of, they were in the gym before the freeze were.
Well, we offered Buzzard a chance to come on the podcast, but I said, we just can't record for 7 hours. Talk a starving dog off a meat truck any day of the week.
So yeah, the schedule is out. I went to have another look at the website today, and it looks like they're revamping the website entirely. So the schedule wasn't there. Orioles' first home game, Friday, May 24th, if I recall correctly. I have no doubt there's a junior schedule out somewhere as well. But if you really want some confusion, Google Junior Baseball New Brunswick schedule and just see what you end up with. There's about 18 different websites of Junior Baseball New Brunswick from going back, I think, as far as 2003. Not one consistent website, all over the map. And I gave up after looking.
Bill, it is your mission to coordinate and streamline every league, I think, in the province, which is a good. It's ambitious, but I think it's something you need to tackle.
Well, that's going to be a hard one to tackle. I just don't have the patience for that. And then I realized, like, why do I expect this stuff? Because I shouldn't. Like, it's we just expect too many things now. Capital City Intermediate Baseball League, same as last week. Check their Facebook post. Each team's going to have open tryouts. Look those up. Maritime Sports Wall of Fame dinner. It's unfortunately on the same night as the Freeze home opener, but I saw a post somewhere that tickets were available at McTavish Sports downtown on Queen Street, across from Biblos. I think it's down in that area.
Nice.
Well, I know where McTavish is. I'm not entirely sure that I'm pronouncing the restaurant's name correctly. probably most people will know where McTavish's is. Again, that's not on the website, but I saw a post somewhere. The website still says announcement to be determined. But again, we'll let them pass on that. Maritime Hockey League final. We touched on that. Miramichi and Summerside. So Miramichi over Edmundston.
Third seed. Swept them.
Yeah. Impressive. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that Miramichi-Summerside series, that should be fun.
Well, it's great to see the crowds coming back to the Civic Center of Miramichi. Over 2,000 the other night against Edmundston. Fantastic.
Starts Saturday the 20th in Summerside, so that's this weekend.
Mm. Miramichi does get a Saturday night game. Game four would be Saturday.
And they alternate sites every game. Because
its proximity is fine.
Yeah, because of the proximity works. Mm. But they will be done. The latest wrap-up is May 4th, so they'll be done before the hurricane season gets underway.
There you go.
Pretty amazing on that. So that's the stuff that I had written down. Bit of news that I'm going to look at Brad and ask if I should share or not.
Okay, now you've gotten me intrigued.
On a bit of podcast news, should I share?
I think should. I think it's fantastic news and just another step in the evolution of what you've started here.
Yeah, so... Cat's sort of out of the bag on this one, and if people
are
poking, Willie's right beside us, so we're not going to put Willie in a bag. That's not going to happen. Thought maybe we don't want to mention this one yet, but we'll go there. So there's a new podcast coming. Brad will not be joining me on on the. Well, he might be joining as a guest, but won't be joining as a co-host. It'll be called Hoops Our Way inside the Maritime Women's Basketball Association. Co-host will be Catherine Korovets, out of Nova Scotia. Played for MSVU. Played at Humber actually this past season. We'll focus solely on the stories from the Maritime Women's Basketball Association. You know, games, upcoming games, results. Guests, same format as this, focused strictly on Maritime Women's Basketball Association. We'll run it through the season on a regular basis, similar to this, and probably much less frequent in the off season, maybe not at all, from that perspective. And we should be up and running with that by the first week of the league. So maybe even before St. Stephen, but certainly. You know, going into that next week is our focus. The website's all set there. It's just a matter of getting together, recording our first episode and getting all linked up there. So Hoops Our Way inside the Maritime Women's Basketball Association. I'm really looking forward to working with Kat.
Yeah, she's certainly, and it's in her career as well, public relations, right? So good start for her and just to get the toes in the water.
Yeah, I'm going to learn a lot from Kat. There's no doubt. And her experience, she won 3 or 4 championships at MSVU. I lost track through COVID of just exactly how many, you know, she was there for, but it's 3 at least.
That third quarter, she lit up Mount Ellison in the final there that dashed the hearts of a lot of Mounties fans.
Yeah, just, and I'm privileged enough to call that one.
That's right. I might have a word with her about that.
I'm sure you will. Got a little Mount A connection there.
That's
for
right,
sure.
Exactly.
So yeah, looking forward to that. So that's the announcement. I'm sure we'll be more posts of that and spreading that news. But yeah, I'm okay with sharing that now.
Yeah,
and
it's out
yeah,
now.
Looking
Bill,
forward to it.
I'm talking to Miranda AM tomorrow actually, and I'll mention that she sparked an addiction for you for podcasts. Yeah, now.
Yeah. Well, they've all been Brad's idea. This was something Brad came to me and said, "Hey, why don't you do this?" And I was like, "Oh, Brad, I don't know that I can make a."
You do one, you might as well do two.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I said, "I don't know that I can make a podcast work unless we find the right co-host." And it took us like one phone call and my first message to Kat, and she was all in. So I'm excited. And if you are meeting Miranda, certainly pass that on. And you know, I'm sure, Tom, that you'll share the link to that once it's out and good to go.
Future guest.
That's fantastic. Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely. And I'm sure Miranda would be happy to come on. So that brings me to the end of my list. All I've got left is our rapid fire questions for Tom.
Covered a lot of ground.
Covered a lot of ground. Brad, anything else you want to get on, or Tom, fine. Before we go there?
I'm fine.
What's that? Sorry.
Anything else you want to get on before we go to the rapid fire questions?
No, that's great.
Okay. These don't have to be quick answer if you don't want them to be, and I'm hoping there's at least a little fun in here for you.
A little bit of buzzard in me, so I'll try to try to keep them concise.
I'm hoping that there's a little bit of fun in here for these. Who was the most influential Spurs person in your youth sporting career?
Oh, in youth sporting. Dave Milbury, hockey. I just connected with his eldest son, Stephen, who works with Opportunities in Brunswick the last few years. But Dave Milbury, you guys all know Jeff Saunders, who came to the Archie. Everybody comes to the Archie, apparently. But Jeff Saunders won the MVP, and I believe the story is, and I hope I have this right, I actually had the most assists, and Dave Hallahan, right, wrote the book on the stats for minor hockey. Anyway, there's a book out on, and I confirmed this. Anyway, I think I had the most assists and the most penalty minutes in the whole league in Pee Wee Rep 1 year, and Jeff Saunders had the most goals. He was amazing. We're on the same line, but Dave Milbury brought out his second MVP medal that I think he stole from one of his sons. To give kind of like the 1A, 1B for MVP. So Dave was a tremendous influence on me.
Incredible. Our history, Tom, we've known each other through junior high, through high school. We went to the same university, but I went to science, you went to business, so we didn't connect a lot there. And then really we didn't connect at all again until just in the last year or so. But when we did, we connected on Facebook. And I see you on Facebook, on Twitter. You've been to numerous sporting events, I'll say around the world, at least in a lot of different parts of the world. What's the one event that stands out in your mind?
Sports-related?
Sports-related, yep.
I think should be easily the Kawhi shot that my daughter, Miranda, I think it was her only Raptors game that year. Friend of mine had to give up his tickets, a bit of a long story, but and we were dead on looking at Kawhi's eyes about 18 rows up as that shot went down. And I had five random people around me. I was sitting on the aisle, my daughter was one seat in, just grabbed me and hugged me and lifted me up, and it was unbelievable. I told Miranda, I said, "That's the best live sporting moment you'll ever see in your life," and she was 10 years old at the time. So I think it was the Kawhi shot. I also thankfully was in the Rogers Center when Batista hit a bat flip, which was quite a moment too. But Kawhi's got to take the cake.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to top that moment. So what's the feeling you get when I say George Street Junior High School and baseline Johnny Stevenson?
I've run into John a couple times. Actually, I think he'll probably end up coming to the Archie this year. But I ran into Moores at the Gonquin after the Archie. And Jason Lemelton, who played for Harvey, they were just finishing a round of golf, and we talked about that final game, and Morton says, "You're still bitter." I said, "I'm still bitter." You know, that was a one Nassauaxis team that had all the talent, all the depth. We could have had two starting lineups on that team, and not to get them in the finals was a bit bitter. But the other cool story about that, well, not so cool story because it's a bad memory, but the good memory was Krista Kitchen, Liston, my wife, was scorekeeping that game and was cheering the whole game for George Street. I said, "You can't be doing that. That's biased scoring." But anyway, I still haunts me a little bit that we couldn't get that Nassauaxis team over the top.
I didn't know that connection that Krista was scoring that game.
It probably was biased. That's probably why we lost.
Probably impacted your play a little bit.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Peter Nason, you'll remember, was a little bit sick, and and not at his full strength, but that was a heck of a team.
Yeah, I get the same feeling. It's even hard to say baseline Johnny Stevenson without feeling a little bit of bitterness. You know, John's a good guy. Played at UMB. Real good guy. So you've talked about Raptors a couple times here. You've been a Raptor fan for many years. I was going to ask you what their chances of breaking 30 wins are next year, but instead I'll ask you who your favorite Raptor of all time is.
Oh, good one. You know, it's probably actually Amir Johnson, which no one would probably say, but I did a lot of, advanced analytics when it was sort of first just starting to be in vogue with, I had two young kids, so I didn't get out on weekends. So I was working spreadsheets and publishing for a site that ended up being published in ESPN. And Amir Johnson was like the no stat all-star, and he changed the game when he came on the floor. So I appreciated the kind of underdog, hardworking, because that was the type of player I was. I didn't have a great shot. I didn't have, good handles. You remember that, Bill, but they stick me in the post. But I go after every rebound and 50-50 ball there was. So kind of a little bit of my similar game to mine, as much as I could say that. But probably Amir Johnson, which would be not a popular answer.
Yeah, that's not where where I expect you to go.
I mean, the obvious ones, there's a whole bunch of obvious ones. And I was fortunate, he'd be up there, of course, and maybe he was 1B, but I was fortunate to meet DeMar at a couple of these charity events. And he is one of the most lovely humans around. And you've seen him talk through his depression, anxiety, and all the issues. But what a guy, one-on-one. He's one of those guys that, would ask as much about you as you're trying to ask about him. And he's just a great human being. So I do miss him as a Raptor a lot. He put his heart and soul in Toronto.
Not many guys
said good things, but he meant it. He meant that it was his growing up period. And DeMar was, we certainly miss him.
So I got a couple questions left here, and I'll ask you this one. What is one song that gets you right in the feels?
Oh. Well, it's Let Your Backbone Slide by Maestro, and that's not because he comes to our event. Kristen knows that was my song. I wore out two tapes, and I told Maestro this, of Symphony in Effect. Let Your Backbone Slide was my, was that about grade 8? No, it was a little later than that.
No, it was grade 8, grade 9, right in that time frame.
Right in somewhere in there. And of course, it was a big hip hop call. I love the Beastie Boys as well, but Maestro, really, I thought that was amazing. So the fact that we meet him all these years later relating to basketball was certainly a blessing.
I think the brilliance of the Beastie Boys is, at the time, certainly recognized, but now with years gone by, brilliant, the stuff they were putting out. It's on my playlist.
Yeah, it's some good stuff there for sure. And the last one, Tom, I thought that one might be a little, a little bit of a downer, so we'll give you a happy one here. What's left on your sporting bucket list? What's out there that you want to go do that you haven't?
Well, I wonder if, I don't know if it is, but we just actually were fortunate enough to book Paris, France for the Olympics, and we will go see some, thanks to Mike Bartlett at Canada Basketball, we are going to see a couple, the earlier round games, we'll get to see that. So that'll be, I think that's, well, maybe, I guess, I did get to NBA Finals with the Raptors, but, that would probably be it. That Team Canada, as is absolutely stacked. And, of course, USA will bring that much better team this time around. But for us to fight for a podium, both men and women's, I think both teams are as good as they're going to be. We had 28 Canadians in the NBA, I think, this year, that the stat was. And I think we have the MVP in the NBA right now with Shea. So,
I think so.
You saw him in the qualifier. He was just outstanding.
Excellent. Gentlemen, anything else you want to get in before we wrap up here?
That's a lot of fun.
Oh, ton of fun. Covered a lot of ground. Tom, thanks for your time.
Well, I just say I appreciate all your support for the world's oldest court. I always use the phrase, a rising tide lifts all boats. That's not just because I'm from New Brunswick, but, it takes all of us to lift each other up and promote each other. And I appreciate all your tremendous support and the MWBA it's going to be just, I can't tell you how excited I'm about this event. So we'll see you guys in 10 days. It won't be long.
Yeah. We'll see you shortly. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Wide open.
All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll come on back next time. Thanks, everybody.
Regional Service Commission 11 is now known as Capital Region Service Commission. For all your building or subdivision permits, regional transportation, social mandates, and economic development questions, visit capitalrsc.ca. That's capitalrsc.ca. Email info at crsc.ca, call 506-453-2956, or visit our office at 860 Prospect Street in Fredericton.